Thank you for what you've already done in our midst. Thank you for what you're doing among this people. Thank you, God, for all of the words that you have spoken that are coming true among us. Lord, I thank you for promises that we didn't even know about that we are walking into, for your favor, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, and for your miracle power. Lord, let us see your mighty hand at work for your glory, for your name's sake, for souls to be saved. We will be living, breathing testimonies. Lord, we will be examples, proof of the power of God on this earth. We commit to that. We hunger for that. And we open up our lives, Lord, to whatever you want to do. Have your way in us, God. Help us to follow after you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, use our lives for your glory. We lay them at your feet right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, just to catch you up, just to review real quick, recap real quick, in case you weren't here this morning, preached about blind Bartimaeus, about the mission and the miracle of mercy, that when you meet mercy, you are radically different, you are healed, you are restored, and I'll preach that a little bit harder in just a minute, but how Jesus goes to the lowest place, which was Jericho, right, and still is actually Jericho, goes to the lowest place. He meets us in our lowest place. He does a deep work in us. He restores things in us. He doesn't just restore, but he creates and makes new. He created eyesight, okay? He created wholeness. I don't want to preach ahead of myself. I ain't got that much to preach, so I don't want to preach ahead of myself right now. But in that, there are ways that we have to play a part. You play a part in your miracle. You play a part by joining with the command and the call of God, your mustard seed faith. Jesus moves the mountain. He said, you can speak to this mountain and the mountain will be moved. And Kira testified of this morning. And I so appreciate everything that she said, everything that she spoke. And as much as Kira, you know, felt last week like, oh man, I wish I would have said this. I know that this word is for this people. And it absolutely is. I feel like God paused that word for this morning, for this moment. I asked her when she was talking to me about it again this morning. I said, do you know that I'm starting, you know, like the sermons on miracles this morning? She's like, no, I didn't know that. And so that's kind of, sometimes we get frustrated in those moments when we think, oh, I missed the Lord. We didn't always miss God. Sometimes, or maybe it's just that he works it for his good and for our good and for his purposes, so that you feel like, oh, I messed up. I missed this thing. I did wrong. And God is lining you up for the perfect X marks the spot moment and to be used by him. And so Bartimaeus found himself in a place of cooperation where he needed to play a part in the miracle of mercy. I preached this morning. It's funny how a review, I can just spout it off, but I can't do that when I'm actually preaching it. I don't know what that's about. And in the same way, like sometimes I'll give Jordan my notes to preach, you know, or I'll give somebody my notes to teach, and they're like, what does this mean? I'm like, I don't know. It's going to mean something when I get up there and preach it. But you can go quick when you're just in a review. But the first part that we play in the miracle of mercy, and I'm just review, is to cry out, right? That's what blind Bartimaeus did when he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. He acknowledged Jesus for who he was. He lifted up his voice. He escalated his pursuit of the Lord. I believe that is what we are doing as a church body, is escalating in our pursuit, in our heart for God, in our heart for what God has for our lives. And don't slow down. Do not slow down. Surround yourself with people that will tell you that. Do not slow down. Keep pushing ahead. Keep pressing on. Keep pursuing the high calling. Keep looking for the greater things. Keep believing for the greater things, because there is work to be done, not just through us, but in us, and we don't stop until we receive those miracles. And so we cry out and we do that. And then secondly, and just a little bit more review and I'll get to the preaching, we step out. I love that. I love the part about the cloak. I'm definitely not the first preacher to even preach that. In fact, if you googled a sermon on blind Bartimaeus, you're going to hear it real quick, because that is a powerful truth, that when we step out, we're stepping out of an old identity. We're stepping into a new identity. I've done it over and over and over, not because I want to be a chameleon and blend in, but because God takes us through seasons. He takes us through different phases of life. And you're never supposed to just stay the same thing. You'll never get to a point where you're like, all right, I've figured out this is what I'm going to be. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to do this thing. God shapes you into different versions of yourself for His glory. God shapes you into different, sometimes, ministries. He fashions you for different ministries throughout the years. We will shape, shift in August, no, July, in late July, into kids ministers. And we will have the time of our lives doing it. That's going to be a part, it's always going to be a part of who we are. And now we've added a new part to our ministry. So we're about to have Rico's child is going to join the family ministry. And we're already working on some skits for that. But that is a part of who we are that God drew out. And so it's that we're not just one thing. You are not meant to be just one thing. And it's not like, oh, I have this big, huge task ahead of me. No, you're going to have moments in life, opportunities in ministry, opportunities in just your daily walk where you are able to be a version of yourself that you cannot be without the power of God. And by His power, if you will step into that, you will surprise yourself and the whole world around you. I called out Rachel this morning. I'm going to do it again because she is being called into different versions of herself that are scary. That it takes a leap of faith. It goes way beyond her comfort zone. It goes way beyond a position that she would put herself in. But at the same time, she can say, I was made for this. God has been preparing me for this. God has been fashioning me for this. The miracle worker calls you out. You step out. And when you get out there, you don't just fall on your face, but you go, oh my goodness, the Lord has been preparing this place for me. He has been preparing my heart for this place. He has been preparing me for this moment. You know, I believe so strongly in the place that God is taking Maranatha to. I also believe in the positioning that He's already put within our spirits, our minds, our attitudes, our mindset. What a radical shift has happened in the last few months to put us in a place where we all say we want to follow Jesus in a deeper way. Even more than I think I've seen in a January fast before, in our 21-day fast before, that people's hearts are so hungry, that people's hearts are so soft, that people just want to see the glory of God revealed in their lives. If I could have created that 5 years ago, I would have created it. But you can't create it. God gives us those miracles in pursuing Him, where you find yourself tender-hearted, where you find yourself desperate, where you find yourself acknowledging the miracle worker is in the room. The miracle worker is in our midst, and He's calling me out of this thing and into a new thing. Isaiah, see, behold, I do a new thing. Isaiah 43, I've been preaching that. Do you not perceive it? Last week, I kind of rushed through that point of how the wasteland and the wilderness will rejoice when God's people choose to walk in their designed identity. There is an identity for you to step into that is radically different than what you've lived out before. And the wasteland will rejoice. And the barren place will rejoice. And the crooked place will be made straight because the people of God choose to abide in the place He has called them to. But it involves throwing the cloak aside. It involves sometimes being a part of discipleship, sometimes leaning on other people, even having to be led and having to be humble and sometimes stumble along the way. But when you meet Jesus face to face, you will abide in a place of the miraculous. And that's where He's putting us. And in that, after we have cried out, after we have stepped out, here we go, point number three. This is the new stuff for tonight, is that we have to live it out. That's the most challenging part, but it's also the most rewarding part. It's absolutely the most fun to follow after Jesus. We know that Bartimaeus was eventually a leader in the early church. Church history records it. We know that he stayed steady, he stayed dependable, he stayed faithful, and he became very influential. You can find that out by studying early church history. We can also know that just from what we can deduce from this, from these few verses. If you go back to the chapter that we read this morning, what was it? Mark 10:51. Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way." Jesus immediately, well, let me finish, and then I'll get to preaching. Sorry, it's hard. "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. All right, subpoint number one of point number three. Jesus said, "Go your way. Go your way." You have a way. It's his way too, obviously. I ain't going my own way as far as I'm going to be a renegade and I'm not following with Jesus. But go your way means that there is something that needs to be made personal to you. There is a command. There is an issuance of a new identity, of a new anointing, of a new mindset and heart that needs to be personal to you. And corporately, yeah, we're all, I believe, getting that opportunity. But there is something that is for you, your way. So no one should sit back and go, "Man, this isn't for me. I don't look. All these people, they're about to find their new anointing. They're about to find that fire. Praise God for it." No, there's a fire for you. There's a fire for me. There's a fire for Jorn. There's a fire for our household. There's a fire for our children. And we've been doing this a little while, but there's a new way, another way. It doesn't mean I radically abandon everything that God has done, but God has built on everything that God has done up to this point. It has built us to a place where we do not stay still. We do not coast, but we say, "What is our way for right now?" We want to stay in it. We want to walk in it. David said, "Show me your way that I may walk in it." Show me the way. I want to progress. I want to proceed, but I want to stay with you. When Jesus said, "Go your way," he was saying, it's time to live this miracle out. He had instant ownership. This is the only thing. Following Jesus is the only thing where you get instant ownership. There's no other thing. No other thing. Not even in relationship. Unless you're crazy. Right? Sometimes I ain't taking no kids to camp. I think I've been delivered of that. Even though Jordan's going to miss it, I'm not going to miss it a little bit. But Robert's going to take the kids to camp, and all them girls going to think they found their husband. They didn't. I already know that. I don't know the boy that they're about to find that they're going to decide is the cutest thing in the world. They're going to think that's their husband. He's not. He's not their husband. Their instant ownership is not a thing. In fact, the idea and the desire for instant ownership is what has got our culture so messed up. Because we're trying to get instant ownership from something that cannot be given to us. The only place where you get instant ownership is in your walk with Jesus. When he says, "This will be made personal to you. This will be made deeply real and authentic to you. And this will be something that you can take ownership of today. You don't have to get any special qualification other than you've surrendered to me. But you are about to have something that is so precious." If I only had Jesus, if I only had Jesus, I would have everything. I was kind of teasing Tucker about this shirt that Gabe got me. Gabe got me this shirt. It's a special gift. He had to pull over to the side of the road and get this shirt because he saw a nice piece of fabric lying on the highway. And he said, "Carly or Alicia is going to like that thing." And it still had the tags on it. It was a steal. It was still in the box. I stole someone's Amazon package. Sorry about that. This testimony just turned into a confession. They lost it. I didn't steal it. They lost it. And Gabe recovered it, brought it to me, gave it to me as a present. And I said, "Oh, yeah, buddy, I will wash that thing right up and I will wear it." But to live a simple life, And I'm not saying, I mean, people that don't live a simple life. I mentioned Wednesday night, I talked about a pastor that, Andre Van Sill, who just preached at Heber. And he has an awesome testimony of an amazing very, I would call it lavishly blessed life that the Lord has given him. And that's awesome. But me and him both, we only have Jesus. Everything else just doesn't mean anything. The only thing that you will ever take ownership of that will be meaningful is the Lord and what the Lord has given you. Your family does come through that. Your church family does come through that. The fruit of your ministry, it all comes through that. But if it doesn't come from Jesus and through Jesus, you don't want ownership of it. It's not worth it, and you don't truly have ownership of it. The only thing you can lay a hold of is Jesus. So take it. There is something that is yours. There may not be anything in the world that you have that is yours besides him. You have enough. You may never have a piece of land with your name on it. You may never have a car worth driving with your name on it. You may never have even this big legacy that you can put your name on, that you can say, these are all of the things that I did. But if you can say, I surrendered to his lordship and I loved him with every fiber of my being, then it would be enough. What he gave, he hadn't even given him everything yet, and that was enough. Go your way. If he did nothing else for you and he just gave you ownership of relationship, it's everything. We have to treat it as everything, because sometimes I think, well, I want to give people Jesus, but I also want to give them this, 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 and this. Give them Jesus, and that's enough. Not only was he going in healing, if you go back to that, he didn't just say, go your way. He said, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, your faith has made you see. He said, your faith has made you whole. You're not just getting healed. You're getting made whole. That's a different thing. I don't just have instant ownership, but I have wholeness. I don't just live out healing in one area. I don't just live out deliverance in one area. I live out wholeness. I live out, I was crazy before Jesus, but I ain't crazy no more. That's where we get to, is that he set me free indeed. Not just, well, he fixed this one thing in my life. Jesus isn't about just coming and fixing one thing. How many times did he say, your sins are forgiven you? People ask for healing, and he said, your sins are forgiven you. Or when he spoke to the woman at the well who wanted living water, and he got in the middle of her life and radically changed and called her out of her life in that moment. When Jesus begins to deal with you, not only does he deal with the one thing, with the obvious thing, with that, what is really the superficial thing, but he brings wholeness. He brings healing at the root, healing at the core of who you are. He doesn't just intend for us to be a patched up people, but a completely possessed people. That's different. We're not just supposed to be a church with a lot of impressive testimonies, and that's something that we should have, that is available to us, that we can all say. Guess what? Kira's not just going to say, Jesus healed my knee. She can say, Jesus delivered me. He delivered me of all of these things. He radically restored. There are many more testimonies that would go beyond just that one day where she had healing, where she had mobility and function and literally her legs put back together. By a creative miracle, broken bones put back together. But even beyond that, Jesus making her whole in all those small areas where she continued to surrender. Jesus wants to make you whole. He doesn't just want to clean you up. He doesn't just want to make you where you're not dependent on a certain thing, where you're not impulsive or compelled to a certain thing, or where you don't feel bound to a certain thing. But he wants you to be whole, where you are the most stable person in your world. There's not a person in this room that isn't meant to be a part of that. You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. You are a lamp that shouldn't be hidden. You are a salt that shouldn't lose its flavor. You are salt that shouldn't lose its flavor. Those are all things that God has for every single one of us. That goes way beyond my symptom is gone or an ability has been restored to me. It's not just about the ability. It's about the identity. It's about what it takes to live out this life for Jesus. And what it takes to live out this life for Jesus is a heart that's been restored so that it can fully be given over. You can give your broken heart to Jesus and he'll heal it. And he'll work with the wholeness that he gives back to you. I do believe that Jesus uses broken things, but I believe he restores broken things to wholeness. And then he uses your wholeness. Sometimes we glorify the brokenness because we don't want to do the surrender it takes to get to wholeness. Jesus heals your brokenness to use your wholeness. He's not going to just keep you in spiritual brokenness. Even if physically you have to endure a trial, even if physically, and don't let me forget Eunice, we will. We've got to pray for Steve because he's got a surgery tomorrow, a pretty big surgery, and we're going to pray for him at the end of service. But he doesn't just want to give you relief. He wants to give you a brand new life. Jesus is calling you to live out not just the initial miracle, but the brand new life, the brand new way of living, right? So many of us would say it's so far beyond the initial miracle I got. I got delivered. Now it's so far beyond that. I got healed. It's so far beyond that. I got saved. It's so far beyond that. I got convicted. It's so far beyond that. This burden, Jesus took it from me, and now it's so far beyond that. We have to go beyond the initial, and we have to walk in the wholeness. This is something that will sneak back up on you. Before I get to that last point, I ain't preaching long tonight. I don't ever preach long on Sunday nights. Some of it's because I'm tired. Some of it's because you're tired. And Monday morning comes quick. But something that will try to come against the identity that he is building in you is he lets the devil won't mess with that undeniable miracle. He won't mess with that. That's kind of this truth that no lie can undo. But he will mess with the wholeness. He will mess with that. He will start to just chip away at things that he can take while you're distracted. He will try to pull away from things that God placed in you that Jesus gave you ownership of while you're weary, while you're worn away. You'll still be healed. You'll still be saved. You'll still be delivered, but you'll find yourself farther from God. We have to be restored to wholeness pretty frequently, honestly. Pretty frequently. That's why you need fellowship with God. That's why you need to abide in the vine. That's why you need that pruning process. That's why you need to continually be worked on with the precision of the Holy Spirit, because wholeness has to be restored to us over and over and over. I imagine Bartimaeus was never afraid of losing his sight, but there were a few times that he lost his way and he was drawn back. We're at a point, and you're at a point, where it stops becoming about those big things. The big things are handled, and now you have to let Jesus get into all of those minute things, all of those what would feel nitpicky if you weren't loving Jesus so much. But now that you love Jesus, now that you are truly learning to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're like, man, I'm giving up everything. I'm handing everything over to the Lord. He's getting in the middle. Rachel, you've said this a few times. He's getting in my thinking. He's changing my thinking. Yeah, we move beyond behavior into thoughts, into mindsets, into philosophies of life, into principles of godly living. That's when I'm growing up. I'm growing up. I'm becoming mature. I'm not just a testimony, but I'm a living epistle. I am a letter. I am a letter from heaven itself saying, look at what life can be if you surrender to me. Bartimaeus became that. He became not just a seeing man, but a whole man. Imagine the years that had to be undone of shame. Imagine the things that had to be restored from all the years that he had lost while he was sitting by the highway. Imagine how much was given back to him day by day. And the word says that he will restore the years that the locust has taken from you. He will restore what you have lost. And that's a part of being made whole. Thank God he doesn't just patch you up, but he restores things to you. That he doesn't just give you that initial miracle, but complete change. And then finally, I know that Bartimaeus was not only known by Jesus, but he was known by the church. He is the only person that Jesus healed in the entire book of Mark whose name was given. The only one. We don't know that. We know there was some other blind guys. We know there was some demon-possessed people. I can't believe that the demon, we don't know the demon-possessed people's names. We don't even know the dead people's names that he raised back to life. But what we know is the name of Bartimaeus. I bet he resents that we still call him blind Bartimaeus. He's like, I'm Bartimaeus, formerly known as blind Bartimaeus, now seeing Bartimaeus. Thank you very much. Right. We just say it because it just rolls off the tongue so well is why we do it. He was not only known by Jesus, but known by the church. And by the way, Bartimaeus just means son of Timaeus. Jesus did not just restore his name, but he restored his legacy. It went back even farther. There are generations beyond you, before you, right, Mike? There's a legacy that comes before the brokenness that you endured that Jesus will go back and restore. This did not just honor Bartimaeus. This honored Timaeus. This honored the father too. Who knows? Who knows what role he played? We don't know. Right? Jesus wasn't about telling that kind of stuff. So we don't know what role he played in any of this. But we know that his legacy was changed because Bartimaeus was willing to be known by Jesus. I said it in January, and I still believe it, that the Lord is restoring families, that the Lord is restoring generations. And sometimes it doesn't just mean that the Lord is going to heal your hurt, but that Jesus is going to heal the people that hurt you. That's redemption to the max. That's redemption to its fullest. He was known by Jesus. The generations before him were known by Jesus. He was known by the church. So when Jesus said, go your way, awesome. But guess what his way was? The way. If you go to the last line of that story, it says he received his sight. All this happened before the miracle. All of this, I just preached this whole sermon up to the miracle. He couldn't even see yet. Now he received his sight. A lot of stuff happened before he received his sight. The "and suddenly" moment that people are about to get, a lot of things have to happen up to that point. So don't get frustrated with people. Don't get frustrated when it seems slow. Don't get frustrated when they ain't seeing yet. Immediately, it will happen. Suddenly, your healing will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will rise like the dawn. So don't be frustrated that there is a lot of work that happens before we get to witness the miraculous. So anyway, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That is distinction. That is not just what's the way. The way was trouble for the devil. The way was something that towns that didn't love the Lord, pagan people dreaded hearing that. Followers of the way are about to be here. They're about to turn this place upside down. The way was supernatural troublemakers. He immediately became not a man who was troubled, but a man who would trouble the enemy because he was in the way. Yeah, he got in the way of the devil's schemes. He got in the way of the liar's lies. He got in the way of the gates of hell because he was a follower of the way. Some of us have felt like we was in the way our whole life. I bet Bartimaeus did. I bet people tripped over him. People bumped into him all the time. He couldn't see nothing. He didn't know. I bet he felt like he was always in the way because they were putting him here and they were putting him there and he didn't know. He was being led. And all of a sudden, he was in a whole different kind of way. Even just those little markers of your life get redemption. The small things get redemption. I am the bossy sister. I'm in charge of the whole family. I hope my siblings listen to this. I hope they listen to it later tonight. I hope my dad clips this piece out. And let me tell you something. When we get together, that they don't ever want to sing. They don't ever want to sing together. And I guilt trip my brother into singing. And y'all are all thankful for that. And so is my mother. And he says, why you got to be so bossy? I'm sorry. It's a gift the Lord gave me. I'm sorry. It's part of my redemption. Because I used to be bossy in bad ways, but now I'm bossy for the Lord. Okay? Right? Maybe you're like, I used to be angry in bad ways. Now I'm going to be angry for Jesus. It's possible. It's possible. Figure it out. Okay? Whatever it is. I was a troublemaker this kind of way. Now I'm going to be a troublemaker for the Lord. That's how it works. That he takes those little nuances of your life. And all of a sudden, Bartimaeus being in the way, it meant something completely different. Maybe it's just you were always a little crazy. Well, maybe now you can just be crazy for Jesus, okay? Because he will take all of those shadows that used to bring shame, bring them into his light, restore them, redeem them, sanctify them. And all of a sudden, we still get to be very diverse people, but we are very delivered people, and we are deliberate people because we are walking with a purpose. And so we see that he was a part of Acts chapter 9, verse 2, where it says that they found any who were of the way, men and women, and they brought them bound to Jerusalem. He gave up his cloak. He received his sight. Who knows whether he walked into martyrdom or not. There might be a way to study that out and kind of surmise whether he did or not. But we know that he left a legacy. We know that he walked in a brand new identity and he became a radically different person because he chose to live it out. He chose to live it out. Right now, I understand that a lot of people are struggling with radical commitment, with what I would also say is radical conversion. That's also another part of what I feel a vision that God has given us for this year is radical conversions, restored families, refined believers. That's what I preached the whole month of January. Normally, I don't remember what I preached month to month, but God burned that into my mind, into my heart so much and has not let me forget it because I believe that that's what's coming for all of us. But in radical conversion, you have to decide that I don't care if life gets harder. I don't care if life gets more complicated. I don't care if I have to lay down more of my preference. I want to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus traded his cloak, and at some point he probably was in chains because they got rounded up all the time. Everywhere they went, half the time there was a company of people waiting to arrest them. And they'd go to jail, and then they'd find out where all the jailers lived. They'd go get the jailers saved. It worked out for them most times. It was an interesting sort of evangelistic strategy, but it worked. They had their own little kind of prison ministry going on. But that's what he exchanged his blindness for. I'm not saying that you're going to exchange that those areas of need in your life and what you're going to get is ease. But I am going to tell you that what you are going to get is the call of God, the purpose of God, and the perfect will of God accomplished through your life. But it only happens if you decide to live out what the Lord has created for you. For I know the plans I have for you. I may quote that every sermon of my life. I don't know. Jeremiah 29:11. For good and not for evil to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. That means I'm going to stay in the way. I'm going to live this thing out. So as we get ready to pray tonight, as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, as we get ready to continue to commit, and I know some of you made major commitments this morning, consider the cost and understand everything that you're laying down and be willing to live this out tomorrow and a week from now and a month from now and 2 months from now. And when you're having trouble living it out, tell somebody. When you're struggling with living it out, let someone know. But what we're going to commit to together again tonight is we will live this out. We will live this out. We will understand that there is something personal for us. We will understand that there is wholeness for us, that there is more. There is more. Jordan, are you getting something ready for Bluetooth, or do you want to take my phone and do it? My phone may be on it. And I've got a prayer list on here. And then we will be willing to be known. You got to come out of anonymity. Eunice does a good job of pulling people out of anonymity, right? She goes with her friendship, and she's like, this friendship is going to get you. My friendship, my care, My care is definitely going to scoot you right into the family of God where you don't get to hide. But there's value in that. There's value in the fact that we know Bartimaeus' name and we don't know anybody else's. There's value in that he was known. That he was known by the church. He was known by the cities that they went to. He is known by us. Your name is meant to be known. Your story is meant to be known. You have to be willing to come out of anonymity, to come out of the cloak and to come into the light means that I'm coming into not just fellowship with Jesus, but fellowship with other people. And that I'm about to let people know me. Jesus knows me. Jesus loves me. His people will know me and love me. And I am about to let people know me. I'm about to let people love me. One thing I was very strategic about. I've been strategic about this for our whole lives because I knew that sometimes my boys were going to be hard to love. I just knew that from, they're not even here to hear this. They ain't going to listen to the recording. From the time they were little boys, and we knew that we were going to be pastors pretty early on. And I thought, this could be a problem for us. I don't know. I started to just, if you have watched my life on Facebook, I have done it for their whole lives. I have a whole book on Jace on Facebook. I told every story I could tell. I let the whole world in on every single thing that boy ever did. If he took his underwear off at preschool and shoved them in his pocket and walked around all day going commando with his little Mickey Mouse underoos hanging out, I told that. I just exposed their life to the whole world. Same with Rustin. Exposed their lives to the whole world. Because the Lord just kept telling me, just trust me, trust me, trust me. Let people know your kids. Let people know them. It never caused people to stop loving them. And that translated later in life to bigger things and not just funny, cute little kid stories. And it translated later in life to me being able to go and tell people, this is something that, you know, we went through with the kids. This is something that we're going through. This is something that we're facing. And I can tell you because I've been through this, no one ever stopped loving my kids. No one ever stopped loving me. And no one will ever stop loving you. They won't, no matter what you endure, no matter what you go through. These are the people of God. Trust God's heart in his people. And be willing to be known by people. You don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to walk in shame like, oh, I'm not like everybody else. You're not meant to be like everybody else. And there's not a struggle that you have that's meant to be carried alone. Let people know your story. Let people know your struggle. Let people know your life. And Jesus will restore. Jesus will heal, and Jesus will graft you in to the family of God. I think that we are going to see that in a supernatural way, not just with people that are sitting in this room, but people that will be sitting in this room. And my challenge to every single one of you, too, is be someone that is safe for folks to be transparent with. And if you ever have any sort of compulsion, to whenever you hear someone's testimony or struggle or story, to go outside and go, I cannot believe that. Did you know that? I can't believe that. I'll just tell you as your pastor, keep your mouth shut on that. Just keep that to yourself. Because this is about to be a place where people can be very, very real and people can be very deeply delivered and seriously healed and absolutely and completely made whole. And I never want someone that's about to get made whole that has had to felt like they had to pretend or felt like they had to walk in brokenness for years to stand up and say, I carried this for years and no one ever knew, and jaws to drop and go, ooh, no. But what needs to happen is that people are able to testify of that and it be, praise God. Praise God that we are coming to new levels, that we are coming to new places. I don't want this to be a place, and the Lord doesn't want this to be a place where there is anything that gets shared, that has been brought into the light, that people cannot celebrate. And I don't mean we let people stay in their sin, but I mean we let people testify of being delivered of things because they understand this is the family of God and we're all growing together and God is taking us to a new place and a new work. And I can be honest and I can be open. And where that can happen and people can celebrate the work of God because they don't come in here and go, man, I just got radically delivered. But if people know that I haven't been delivered for the last 5 years, they're going to think something different of me. Because we've been in church together a long time. This church body has stuck together a long time, longer than I've ever seen. We've had a lot of turnover, but we've had a lot of not turnover. You go back to 8 years ago, most of us knew each other. A lot of us knew each other that far back. And if you've been carrying something for years and years and years and Jesus delivers you of it right now, I want you to be able to tell it. Because there's freedom in telling it. And there's freedom in living it out in the open. And I don't want you to have to say, I'm just going to have to keep that to myself. Thank God I got that fixed. Because I've been faking it for a long time. That's shame. And the Lord is calling us into complete openness, complete wholeness, complete celebration of what he's done. So that means that we walk in transparency, we walk in honesty, and we walk in mercy. We are experiencing the miracle of mercy. We are giving the gift of mercy. And we are going to live out the meaning of mercy. Because the last and final point of this, and man, what a fun time to get to preach miracles. And what a fun miracle to start with. That God just reminds us of his goodness, that he reminds us of his love for us. And that he reminds us of his ability that he gives to us, that we can cry out, that we can step out, and we can live it out. And so as we get ready to pray tonight, we're just going to make a commitment. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me, I will answer you, I will show you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. What we're going to commit to tonight is there is a wholeness I can't even comprehend, and I want it, and I will surrender to it. Not just for us individually, absolutely, but also for us as a church body. We are about to walk into a place of wholeness, healing, and love. I do think that it started back in the winter with the eye care ministry, with people getting really intentional, with people getting really careful, with relationship, and then with people beginning to be surrendered to the process of discipleship. But that's where we're at. And to live it out, it takes every single one of us. It takes absolute surrender, and it takes the power of God. So we're going to submit to those things tonight. Jordan, you can go ahead and start some prayer music. You got it.